Our scripture reading this morning is taken from John chapter 14, reading verses 1 to 11.
Following Jesus' comments to the disciples of the fact that he was leaving and that they could not follow him, even though they were adamant that they wanted to follow him, and whatever it took, they were willing to do, even if it meant laying down their lives. And of course, Peter didn't really understand what he was saying and what that entailed. But nevertheless, the Lord Jesus Christ follows up that conversation with these words. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, there's nothing that's more important in the scriptures than to comfort God's people in life, but especially in death, especially in the face of death. I mean, that's our biggest challenge, isn't it? We may be Christians for many, many years, but that is the ultimate challenge. I mean, that is the ultimate test of our faith, to put our life in His hands, to come to that point when we can rest completely in His hands, where we make no contribution whatsoever. In this life, we depend on the Lord. We confess that. But then we're active. We do so many things toward that end. But in death, we lay everything on the altar. We give everything over to Him. And that's a challenge. And one that the scriptures want to encourage us in. Certainly our confession takes note of that in terms of the heart of a catechism. And it begins that way. What is your only comfort in life and in death? They don't want to ignore that. It's not that we can push that off into the future. We'll come back to it someday. No, you need to know now. Why? Because death doesn't wait for anyone. And so our catechism begins with that we might have comfort, assurance. And certainly the scriptures speak much about that, so that we would have an anchor for the soul, not only in life, but in death itself. As I said, the Lord Jesus had been preparing his disciples for what would soon become a very painful reality, namely that Jesus and his disciples would no longer be together walking this earth. That's why he'd come to Jerusalem. That's why they were so concerned about him going to Jerusalem that Peter stood in the way and he said, that's not going to happen. Because they couldn't bear the thought of the Lord Jesus Christ leaving them. Peter was adamant, as I said, no matter how dangerous the path, he was ready. And he was. I mean, he was. He did take out his sword. He was ready to defend the Lord Jesus Christ. Cut off the high priest's servant's ear. But he was ready. But little did he know what the Lord Jesus Christ was about to do and accomplish. He wasn't going to Jerusalem to defend himself and to overtake Jerusalem and to fight back and take the temple out of those that had turned it into a den of thieves. No, he came as a Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He came to bear in his body the sins of God's people. His blood to be shed. Redemption that had been promised. And the Lord God himself had declared it even in eternity to bring that to a wonderful end. But it was a troublesome message for them to hear. They loved him. They were not ready to part ways with him. They wanted to follow him all the days of their life. You know how painful separations are. We part from friends. They move from one area of the world to another. Our families, our friends, our children go off to college, move jobs, move places. Of course, we have the blessings of travel, but it's not the same of seeing them on a daily basis. But then, of course, there is that separation that death brings. Such a separation is heartbreaking. Though it may be understandable in terms of age, it's still sad. Such is what we experienced in the passing to glory of Mary Scott and many others in our church down the years. But the passage before us contains the Lord's words of comfort and assurance to his disciples. But they also afford all of us comfort. Whether we are the ones departing this life or whether we are the ones remaining. We all need that comfort in such times. Well, this passage certainly draws our attention to the areas in which we can find that comfort and that strength. And the Lord Jesus Christ directs his disciples to these wonderful truths. First of all, that we find we can have comfort and strength, that we can have a remedy for the heaviness and troubled hearts by belief in the triune God. Belief in the triune God. I mean, the Old Testament tells us that, of course, in Ecclesiastes. I mean, any life divorced from God, any life that has no connection with God is doomed. Doesn't matter what kind of person you are, doesn't matter what you achieve, doesn't matter how successful you are, it's doomed. It's absolutely doomed. And why? Because it ends in death. And all of that is erased. Whatever legacy a person thinks he has left behind will fade with time. But when we believe in God, even though we may be a beggar sitting outside the gates of rich people and not getting any help or mercy from them. No, they have hope. They have comfort. Their life is not wasted. And so Jesus draws their attention to that. Jesus is not saying that they don't need him and that they can go it alone. I've taught you enough, you can do it. Stand on your own two feet. He's not saying that. Or that he does not wish to continue shepherding them, but rather that he has an important work to do for them, one in which they cannot accompany him. They cannot accompany him. They must never think that Jesus does not care and that he hasn't taken steps to provide care for them as he had done throughout his ministry. Now, Jesus turns their minds and hearts to God. Believe in God. Believe in God. No Christian should be without help and comfort in any circumstance. I mean, that's what the Psalms say, don't they? I mean, I referred to that in our congregational prayer. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? I can't understand it. How can you, that are a Christian, how can you come to this place? How can you say there's no hope? Believe in God. You believe in God. I told this story a number of times before, but it's worth repeating. Luther's wife, one day, was dressed all in black. And Luther's wondering, you know, what occasion it is. It's obviously not a celebration. And he said, well, you know, what gives? What's wrong? She said, oh, God died. I mean, you can imagine how shocked he was. God died? Are you crazy? I mean, what are you saying? God died. And she said, well, the last couple of days when I've looked at you, my only conclusion was that God must have done. Hope thou in God. We believe in God. Elijah saying, I'm done, that's it. You know, there's no point. Everything's a loss. You know, they kill the prophets and now I'm the only one left and now I'm in danger. That's it. Take me home. Elijah, do you believe in God? Is God intimidated by Jezebel? Is God weak? That his arm cannot save? What are you thinking? And as you know, he was given that wonderful vision of God and his power and his sovereignty. And he was saying, let's give up. So Jesus is turning the attention of his disciples. You believe in God. How can you be so downcast? How can you think that all hope is lost? Psalm 113 beautifully affirms this comforting truth. If I descend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Do we not believe what the Scriptures teach? Do we not believe Psalm 139? Jesus reminds them that God will never abandon those that believe in him. This truth should prevent our hearts and their hearts from being troubled. Let us not be disturbed in such times as we face and have faced in the past. Why? Because we believe in God and he will never abandon us, but will be our strength and hope. And that is applicable in so many areas. That's applicable in the nation that we live in and all that's going on. you may be throwing your hands up in the air and thinking, what's going on? What hope do we have? What hope does the church have if this continues? I'll tell you what hope we have. Belief in God. That's our hope. And I'll never disappoint. No matter how strong the opposition think they are. But he adds to that. You believe in God, believe also in me. Believe also in me. They have to fully trust in what he is saying and doing. Though it may seem hard to understand and imagine, they are to believe in what he is doing. I mean, they believe in God, and things don't always go great, do they? They don't always understand why things go the way that they do. But they don't give up belief in God, do they? They don't think that God is not sovereign, that God doesn't have everything in his hands. Do we? Do we only believe in God when things are going well and the way that we think they should go? Or do we trust in God even when things are going downhill, as it were? Well, that's what Jesus is saying. You believe in God in those times, believe also in me. Don't stand in my way. Don't say this will never happen to you. Don't say we're not going to go to Jerusalem. I know what I'm doing. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus had adequately provided for them such that they could enjoy peace in their hearts. Just as we pray amid fears and anxieties and experience the joy and the peace that passes all understanding. Jesus is doing the job that is vital for us. He's not abandoning us. He's not leaving us defenseless. As he said, I don't leave you as orphans. I mean, what parents would do that? He would never do that. What he is going to do is vital for us. But in the meantime, he has provided for all that we need. It is in our best interest that Jesus did what he did. It was in their best interest that he left them behind and made that journey only himself. But he also says, believe in the Holy Spirit. Jesus assures them that he's not leaving them defenseless. He's not leaving them as orphans. I will come to you. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. Back to Psalm 139, verse 7. Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? And of course, the answer is nowhere. Jesus reveals that they are and have been safe in the everlasting arms of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Though he has a work to do which they cannot participate in, yet they are never left to fend for themselves. Though the shepherd is about to lay down his life, the sheep continue to be protected. Let the disciples not be troubled in heart. Let us not be troubled in heart. We believe in God and therefore are fully assured and comforted that we and our dear sister Mary is in the hands of our Almighty God. The second thing that the Lord Jesus Christ draws their attention to is the assured place that we have in his Father's house. This house of reunion. It was not that Jesus would go somewhere and they would be reunited again as though they had been up until now. No, where I am going, you cannot come. At this time, you can't come with me now. But be assured that you will come with me later. So he's going to a place where we will be with him. That he is going to the cross now, but he will return. they would no longer enjoy his company now as they did before, but only for a time. Our loved ones in the Lord Jesus Christ are taken from us such that we do not have their companionship that we so much enjoyed on this earth. However, Jesus teaches them that they would follow afterwards. It's not just a sentimental comment that we make in these times that we will see them again. No, no, no. It's a firm conviction that we have that we will see them again because we are going to the same place as the Lord Jesus Christ mentions to them. I'm going to my Father's house. And in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back and take you to be with me, that where I am, there you may be also. We will be with God's people. There will be that great reunion in his house where Mary is now and all those that have gone before her into heaven. There is celebrating there because she is home. Let our hearts not be troubled for her or for any of our beloved brothers and sisters that have passed in Christ. You can't follow them now, but we will. We absolutely will. And it's a house that is well suited for us. It's not easy for us to think that we will be fully satisfied in any other environment than the one we know now. And that's this earth. I mean, when I was thinking about that, I'm thinking, wait a minute, I just made this statement. That should be the greatest evidence that God will provide for us a suitable place. If you think about it, when God provided us an environment to be on this earth, it was very good. And even though it's stained by sin and we've polluted it no end, we still love it so much we don't want to go. We don't want to leave it. That's how good God is in providing a place suitable for us. Well, that's what Jesus is saying. I'm going to my Father's house. I'm going to prepare a place for you. The Lord Jesus Christ is taking the time and the effort to prepare a place for us. If that doesn't speak about suitability, I don't know what does. He's going to prepare that place so that you will be fully satisfied for eternity. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. It never entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for them that love him. If you're so at home in the earth and you think, oh, this is so wonderful, then be assured that God will do the same in terms of his Father's house. Let's not allow the devil to put those thoughts in our mind that somehow we're not going to be totally happy. We're uncertain. There's nothing for us to be uncertain about. It's a well-suited house. No sin, no sorrow, no pain, no death, but rather pleasures forevermore. Mary and all God's people for whom the afterward has become a reality are fully satisfied. Now let not your hearts be troubled. Also, Jesus gives us the truth in terms of the fact that our journey is going to be an escorted journey. Let not our hearts be troubled about the logistics as to how we will get there or where is it. It might seem all too otherworldly. But Jesus puts their minds at ease by saying, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We are taught that this promise is real, such that we are to earnestly pray and look forward to that day to arrive. That's what the scriptures teach us. We ought to be so excited about that. That ought to be such a yearning that we have, that we pray for it. Whatever the obstacles, the graves, the leaving of this world, we will rise and we will be with the Lord and with one another as we enter our eternal dwelling in our Father's house. As the psalmist said, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." For Mary, that is the glorious reality. How her heart must be at peace. But it's also at our death. Of course, not all of us will be present on the earth in terms of living still, being alive. Yes, we will be there in terms of the fact that we've died and we've gone to heaven, and when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, we come back with him and our bodies rise first. Yes, that's true. But not all of us will be alive on earth when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Many of us will have made that journey before. However, let not us be troubled in heart, because Christ's promise is to escort us to our Father's house. Elijah was escorted in chariot of God. Elijah was taken to heaven in a chariot of God. Stephen was escorted to heaven. Even as he's being stoned, what does he confess to? That he looks up into heaven and he sees the heavens open and the Lord Jesus Christ standing ready to receive him into heaven. Rejected by the world, stoned by the world, but the Lord Jesus Christ receives him into heaven. Lazarus, as we've read in Luke chapter 16, was escorted to heaven by the angels, and there he is in the bosom of Abraham. No, God doesn't abandon us in that moment. Though we may be on our own, though it may be in a split second in a car crash that our life is taken, as they say, flashes before our eyes. There's no flashing in terms of the presence of God escorting us to our eternal dwelling. You will never be alone. Let not your heart be troubled. Let us not fret over how things will be at that moment. God himself will take you and all his people in his loving arms and bring them home to himself. That is a comfort of each believer. No matter what the circumstances, you will never be alone. Let not your heart be troubled. I will come and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye might be also. Even the thief on the cross was assured that that very day he would accompany the Lord Jesus Christ into paradise. And finally, what are we to do now? Following the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing the way. The question remains for us, namely, do we know this way? Thomas said he didn't. You're telling us that we know the way and how to get there? We don't. We don't know where you go. We don't know how to get there. And Jesus is saying, no, you do. You do know. They knew he was going to heaven and they knew the way to heaven. All believers should know that. And Thomas declared that he didn't, that they were confused. But Jesus declared to them and to all here present that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father and therefore to his house except through him. the rich man was concerned about his family. He didn't know the way. That's why he was where he was. But he wanted them to know the way. And he wanted them to know the gospel. And we have to understand that. Unless you know the gospel, unless our loved ones know the gospel, however much we may love them, we're not going to end up in the same place. I mean, that's an awful thought. But it ought to be a motivating thought. It ought to be a thought that makes us take up the opportunities that we have to speak to them about that way. To tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. To tell them that's the only path. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that his own words were, no one comes unto the Father except through me. Anyone that is troubled in heart at the prospect of death and what it holds for us and where it takes us, then there is only one remedy for our hearts not to be troubled, and that is that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we are escorted and to that place. Mary believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. She knew the place and the path and testified to it in our midst. And now she is there, safe and sound. All who hope to dwell with her must take the same path, must know the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not worry. Let us fix our eyes upon him. We need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to his Father. He claims that they know the Father and they've seen him. But Philip says, Lord, just show us the Father then. Then everything will be clear. Just show us the Father. I mean, they couldn't get to the truth in terms of what he was saying. He had to write it out basically in black and white. And so Jesus then declares to them that he who has seen the Son has seen the Father. He who has seen the Son has seen the Father. Jesus asks whether they believe that the Father is in the Son and the Son is in the Father. What Jesus is declaring was that he was with the Father, that he was with God, and he was God. No one has seen the Father at any time, but the Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. People of God, we will never see God outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will never see God outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our avenue to all eternity. In all eternity, the access to God the Father will always be through the Son. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Let not our hearts be troubled. Our Lord is God in the flesh and assures us that his words are God's words, and we can trust him in life and in death. Let no one deceive you. Let not the devil say, has God said? Jesus questions. Ask them, how can it be that after he has been with them so long, yet they have not understood that he is God himself? Do you truly believe that Jesus is God and has come to redeem us from our sin and secure our eternal future in his Father's house? Look at all that Jesus did and said. Look at his life covered in the Bible and particularly in the Gospels. All these things are written that you might know that he is the Christ, the Savior, the Son of the living God. That's what Mary confessed, this glorious truth. She rejoiced in the fact that Christ, the Son of God, had done all that was necessary to reconcile her to her, to God the Father, to himself. And so that she, like the prodigal son, would be joyfully received into the Father's house. Let not our hearts be troubled. Our beloved sister is safe in his arms. And we that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will join her when he calls. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the comfort that you bring to our hearts. The comfort that dispels all the fears and the worries and the concerns that the devil is all too eager to sow into our hearts. But our Father in heaven, we know that he will never be successful because you have sown into our hearts that imperishable seed that grants us all that we need. And so, our Father, we pray that we might go forth into this week with certainty, with hope, with comfort, knowing that you are leading us and guiding us, and that we are making our way to heaven because we follow your word and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would indeed bless us as we go. May we always hope in you, for we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand and respond as we sing from the Red Hymnal number 648.